إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My brothers and sisters, we are looking at the issue of what does it mean to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we identify two things. One is to recognize the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are His introduction to us. And the second, taking from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is with respect to the uloom of revelation, the uloom of Islam, the uloom of the Quran and Sunnah. This knowledge is the virasat, it is the inheritance of the Anbiya. And the one who takes this knowledge, acquires this knowledge, studies this knowledge, has acquired from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned before, we differentiate between information and knowledge. Acquiring the knowledge does not mean simply reading books. It means applying that knowledge in your life. The knowledge of the scholar must be visible in his life. Only that which is visible in his life is his knowledge. The rest of it is knowledge which is witness against him on the day of judgment. Because he knows and he does not apply, he knows and he does not act, and that becomes a witness against him on the day of judgment. This is a very serious issue which we need to think about, and that is why I am also doing this series of Jummah Khutab on gaining understanding knowledge of Islam, because this is a very big fitna that is there today, where people think that simply reading books or getting some degrees amounts to getting ilm. Knowledge is the result of experience, it is the result of reflection, it is the result of acceptance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just a matter of reading books. And if you read those books and you acquire this knowledge, and then you, especially if you use it in ways which are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either use that knowledge to make money or use that knowledge in order to curry favor with people who have influence, who have money, who have power and authority, and give fatwas and rulings which suit them, then this knowledge becomes the knowledge of shaitan, of Iblis. Because Iblis had a lot of knowledge, what he did not have was khashyatullah. The effect of the knowledge was not there, and that is what landed him in Jahannam. Today we look at the third issue of taking from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has to do with this application. The application of knowledge is what we know as taqwa. Taqwa is not a state of being, it's a state of acting. It's a state of action. It comes out of a state of being, which is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is the physical manifestation in actions of the hub of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. If somebody claims that he has love of Allah, then this love of Allah is expressed through in his life by doing anything which pleases Allah and by staying away from everything which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the definition of taqwa. Taqwa is not just some intellectual philosophy or something. It's manifested physically, it is available in the actions. And that is why, and the dalil for this in the Quran itself is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, make my ittiba. So what is he saying? If you claim to love Allah, show it in the action. And what is the way of showing the love of Allah in the action? To act like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because nobody loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody can claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if they love me, tell them to behave like you. As simple as that. I'm trying to translate this into as simple language as possible. Allah is saying, tell them, if they claim to love me, behave like you. So if you love Allah, then what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established salah. He gave zakat, he gave charity, he spread goodness around him, he was good to his neighbors, he was good to the people. As a ruler, he was good to the people, he held himself accountable to the people. He tried to serve the people. As a head of a family, he held himself accountable to the family. They asked him, who is a good person? He said, a person whose wife says he is good, that person is good. And he said, I am the best to my wives, you be good to your wives. Right? This is the kirdar and the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all around him. What is this a manifestation of? This is a manifestation of his taqwa. What is his taqwa? His taqwa is reflected in the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he had. He loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else, and therefore he was careful about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else. He was always careful never to do anything which displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He represented a state of perfection which Allah told us to aim for. He said, do like that. Fattabi'uni. Not only atiuni, not only obey me, but do whatever I do, whether or not you were commanded to do that, do it because I do it. Ittiba is the imitation, it is the emulation of somebody out of love of that person. You behave like that person because you love that person. So that person's every action is reflected in your own actions. We can see this in our own children. Especially younger children, if you see them, the little boy will act and walk and talk like his father. It's not as if the father has told him, do this, do that. No, that is automatically it happens. It's like seeing a, you know, miniature miniature of the father, because this is a reflection of the father in the child. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and that is why taking from the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to take from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a part of the treasure of Muhammad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best of akhlaq. And that is why in Surah An-Najm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this and praised the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, you are on the khuluqun azim. He said, you are on the best of akhlaq. And where did that come from? This is the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. Allah said, it is a good thing that you are soft and you are kind to your people. Linta lahum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are kind to those people. And this is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa. The treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amal, which shows itself in our lives. And this amal is what it's based on, one criterion, which is, does it please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? So to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very interesting and important to understand in this particular ayat which I mentioned to you. Allah said, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُبِكُمُ اللَّهِ. What is the result of that? What will happen to the one who makes ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah said, Allah will love him. So here is somebody who is claiming to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, if you really love me, show this love by following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then I will love you. Now think about that. If Allah loves me, if Allah loves you, what is the result of that? What kind of dua we will have, what kind of effect we will have in the world, because Allah is the one who loves you. And the first thing that happens when Allah loves you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَقْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُرُ rahim. The first thing that will happen is Allah will forgive your sins. In addition to that, much more, but this is the first step. If Allah loves you, obviously if Allah loves you, He will not throw you into Jahannam. If Allah loves you, He will not punish you. So therefore, if Allah loves you, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do is give you Jannah. Is to forgive your sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. So this is the benefit of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does that come? By following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very interesting, as I said in this ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word ittiba instead of the word ita'at. Because ita'at would have restricted to obeying only those things which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly ordered. But ittiba opens the door to doing every single thing that Rasulullah ﷺ did, whether it was as a result of what he ordered people to do, or whether it was something that he just personally liked to do. He never told anyone to do that, but he used to do it. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you also do that. Make his ittiba. Whether he told you to do it or not, if it is something which he used to do, then you follow that. Even if he did not say do this, you follow that. You do it because you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is the way of showing this love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is to be like him to the extent possible. That is the gold standard. That is the standard of perfection that has been given to us, to all of humankind, is to be like Muhammad. And if you do, if you behave and you, if you are like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will happen? We will have a society which is based on honesty, which is based on integrity, which is based on compassion, which takes people along. We will not have the kind of bandit society which we have today, where people, some people corner all the wealth at the expense of other people. There is cruelty, there is oppression, there is all kinds of evil in the society, which has been not just become common, but people do evil as a matter of right. They said, this is our haq to do evil. This is our haq to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not have the society. We will have a society which is based on piety, which is based on kindness, which is based on compassion, on these things. And that is the kind of society that will happen if we come on the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not restricted only to Muslims. It is meant for the whole world. But if even the Muslims are not on it, what can we talk about the world? So the first thing to do is, if it is ours, let us implement it in ourselves, right? And instead, and in that implementation, the first place to implement it is in our own homes. And in that, the first place to implement it is in our own personal actions, the way we speak, what we speak, the way we deal with people, the way we behave, our appearance, our behavior, all of this. That is the first thing. I mean, nobody can stop me from following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam if I want to follow the sunnah. Nobody can stop me. How can anybody stop me? Right? Physically, what am I going to do? Put me in jail or something, or tie me to a tree. I mean, what can anyone do? Nobody can do anything. Nobody will do anything also. People are not interested. Do what you like. I mean, it's your life, as long as you are not hurting anybody else. And there is nothing in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam which hurts anybody. It's only for the good. So first and foremost, let us make this niyat, and let us pledge to ourselves to say that I will follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as possible, as much as I know, I will follow in my own personal life. And then I will implement this with love and affection in my own household. I'm not saying go and beat somebody. No need. Do it nicely. Do it nicely. Do it very softly and very, with mercifully. But do it. Implement the sunnah of Rabbi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your home. Make sure that there is nothing in your home which attracts the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if there is disobedience of Allah happening in your home, it is attracting the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you want to live in an atmosphere which has this insecurity and this hostility of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then apply this in the bigger circles that we operate in terms of our environment and so on and so forth, society, so that we create a society which is good for everyone who lives in that place. Not only Muslims, everyone, not only human beings, everyone, including animals and plants and the environment and everything else. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to take from His treasures. We're trying to clarify what that means, and to give us in keeping with His majesty and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.